This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we were getting a description here of the geography of southwest Pennsylvania. Stan Gordon, tell us more.
So we're looking to the Chestnut Ridge area. For years and years, there have been incidents along the ridge areas. There are certain areas on the ridge, near the ridge, the areas parallel along the ridge, where a lot of phenomena goes on year after year. There are certain areas where there's more than normal activity. For example, outside of Lake Trove and Derry Township, for years and years, there's a lot of almost annual Bigfoot activity going on, plus a lot of reports of other cryptid activity, UFO activity, but Bigfoot activity, including this year, very good sighting and in daylight at close range. So that's very significant. But there are certain areas, not only in the ridge, but in other areas of the state, where whatever we're dealing with, this phenomenon seems to focus on. Some of it is historical. These things have been going on for years and years to people. But you have these certain properties where you get UFO sightings, you get the low-level balls of light, you get paranormal phenomena, you get Bigfoot sightings, cryptid encounters, mysterious sounds, strange footprints, goes on and on and on, all kind of strange phenomena being reported. So anyhow, it was about a year ago, up in an area of Fayette County, that some of the researchers from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, and Eric Altman and that group, they were up there investigating some Bigfoot activity up near there. They came across this very isolated, very, very mountainous, wooded area where all kind of activity has been going on. And there have been a number of witnesses there, or researchers there and witnesses. There have been, again, cryptid reports. There have been Bigfoot activity. And last year, some of these researchers encountered these balls of light. And I had talked to some of these fellows, because they know me for years, some of these people. And I think they were a little skeptical of these reports. But I believe it was April of last year, that evening, when there was a pretty good investigation going on, when several of these people were had the experience of having these spheres of light come up within feet of them. And I can tell you, I think their lives were changed, because they now knew that this was something going on. There was more to this than we understand. From what I understand, even recent months, there's been another activity going on up there. I have been up there. It is a very, very strange, secluded area. I can tell you, the first time I was ever up there, it was like a silent area. It was just a completely silent, dead zone. That's what I wanted to say, like a dead, quiet zone. You didn't hear an insect, a bird. It was just pitch quiet. And I'm not experiencing anything up there myself, but I talked to many people that have, and it's a very interesting area.
Now, when you speak, of course, about possible interdimensional sources for this rather than another planet, how would we prove that? What gives you the feeling that's the cause?
Well, and once again, I'm only using that terminology because I don't know for sure how to explain it. I think we need to talk about some of the historical cases and even some of the more recent things that are going on. With Bigfoot, for example, that's where I began to first find things. You know, I've got out in the field in the 1960s investigating Bigfoot sightings in Pennsylvania. There have been a long history of sightings here in Pennsylvania going back to Native Americans. There's newspaper accounts from the 1800s that talk about sightings of these hairy creatures in the woods, but back then they didn't call them Bigfoot. They were called the wild man of the woods or the forest. And I had always assumed from the people I had talked to back in those days that Bigfoot was some type of unknown species of science. That's what I figured for years and years. But then 1972 and mainly 73 comes around, and that's when my teams are out there investigating these cases. And my research teams, I started the first one in 1970. I had three different teams over the years, different groups for many, many years. We were all volunteer. We did around our full-time jobs and out of our own pocket. But the groups were kind of unique. I had scientists, I had engineers, technicians, police officers, former military specialists, all kinds of specialists. You'd be amazed the people who got involved in the group. And most of them did anonymously because of their positions. And by 1973, I had it set up where we could cover the whole state of Pennsylvania. So now, gee, it's going on, this year's 64 years of doing my research, and believe it or not, I still have not seen a UFO or Bigfoot myself. But anyhow, we set up in 1973 to cover the whole state of Pennsylvania. We were very lucky we were organized, because none of us ever expected what was going to happen. So first we had that massive UFO wave with hundreds and hundreds of UFO reports coming in from across the state. Many were low-level sightings, not just lights in the sky. So you got to remember, it's 1973. There's no cell phones. There's no internet like today. People didn't know what other people were reporting. So they would often call the police at a newspaper. Surprising to us, we were getting a lot of referrals from the law enforcement agencies, from the news media, and we were out there day and night just checking all these UFO reports. And back then, a lot of the local and even the statewide and some of the national news were picking up a lot of these cases going on across the state. So anyhow, we're just out there investigating all these UFO sightings. And then the summer of 73, we had that biggest Bigfoot outbreak ever documented that went on to 1974. And there have been Bigfoot sightings reported in Pennsylvania every year since then, including many this year. But anyhow, again, assuming that Bigfoot was an unknown primate, that's what we're out there investigating and thinking that's what we're dealing with. Well, one of the first oddities that showed up in 73. So you got to remember, this incident is going all year round, including the winter and the snow. So my teams would get on the scene of some of these cases within minutes to hours. So here in the snow, for example, you have these very large, strange footprints with very large strides between them that go a distance and then just abruptly stop when there should have been more tracks. And that's been going on now all over the country and around the world. There was no way that could have been fabricated under the conditions we found them. That was one of the first things that was strange. And then many, many other things began to show up from widespread areas. People had no way of knowing. One of the things that was very unusual we began to hear about was people would tell us in daylight they would see this 7-8-foot-tall, huge, hairy creature standing there in daylight, maybe 30, 40 feet away, that would suddenly disappear and momentarily reappear at another location nearby. And then over the months ahead, from many other counties, we get similar reports coming in. And then things got much more intriguing. That's when we began to get these reports of UFO sightings, and then in some cases, a UFO sightings and a Bigfoot seen together. And if you'd like me to talk about some of those famous cases, I'd be glad to do it. The one that really stands out was in February of 1974, which was one of the cases that, to me, indicated we're dealing with something that is not a completely physical animal.
We definitely want to hear more of this. Definitely want to hear more of this.
All right, so let's go back to February 6, 1974. This is way up in the mountains, not far from Ohio Pile, where a lot of sightings have gone on for years and years with Bigfoot and other phenomena, but Bigfoot, a lot of reports in Fayette County. So anyhow, it was a normal evening, and this lady is sitting in her living room in a little cabin home very deep in the mountains, watching television. She began to hear this commotion on her little front porch. She had some empty soda cans out there, pop cans. Somebody was rattling the pop cans around. So two or three weeks before, I remember she told me that there was a pack of wild dogs came through, so she thought, I bet those dogs are back again. So she thought, you know what, I'll just grab my 16-gauge double-barrel shotgun, and I'll shoot over her head, and I'll scare those dogs away. So what does she do? She goes and loads one chamber of her shotgun. So she starts walking up towards the front door with a shotgun in her hand. She turns on the switch to put on the porch light outside. She opens the door and steps out. But there's no dogs there. 6 feet in front of her is a 7-foot-tall, kind of grayish-haired Bigfoot standing right in front of her, put his hand straight up over its head, his arm straight up over its head when she turned on the light. How does she react? She aims her shotgun and pulls the trigger. She said there's this bright flash of light, like the flash from a strobe on a camera, and it vanishes right in front of her.
Yeah, I'm going to persist through this story because I have questions after we get through with it, because it strikes me as other possibilities, too. Of course, how would we know unless someone out there tells us, right? Stan Gordon, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Pedicast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so she fires her shotgun at this thing, and it vanishes. I wonder if it was even there. Maybe it was some kind of hallucination or a projection or something like that.
So here's the rest of the story. So her in-laws lived about 100 feet away. They heard the gunshot. They called her on the phone, asked what she was shooting at. She explained it to him. Her son-in-law grabs his pistol, starts walking down that dirt road. He sees a dark figure running ahead of him, down away from him. At some point, as he's getting down there, he reportedly encountered, I believe it was four or five hairy people with eyes like coals of fire. He runs into the cabin home, and it was around that time that this very large luminous object, they said like a big Christmas ornament, was hovering over the woods at the same time. That's when they got very shaken, and they called the state police. So some of the people who are listening will remember the time period. February 1974, what was going on at the time, there was a big national trucker strike. You'll probably remember we had national gas rationing. Remember that, Gene?
Oh, boy, we can tell you stories about the gas rationing. I remember, as many of our listeners did, I'll just tell you this and we'll go on. I remember waiting for hours to fill my gas tank. Wow.
Well, anyhow, the thing was, there was a lot of violence across the country at that time. So here in Pennsylvania, the National Guard and the state police were patrolling together. I couldn't get gas where I lived in Greensburg, so I couldn't get up there early the next morning up to the scene. So anyhow, you had some members of both the National Guard and the State Police respond to this incident. I talked to the primary State Police investigator, and he said it took them quite a while way up in the mountains to find the place. By the time they got there, everything was over. But he said something very strange happened up here. He said, first of all, one of the witnesses were very credible. They were very, very frightened. They gave detailed accounts of what they experienced. But he said what convinced him was the animal reactions. And I mentioned to you earlier that I've never seen a Bigfoot or a UFO, but I have many times getting on the scene of these incidents seen the animal reactions. So even the most vicious dogs, when these things are nearby, they don't bark, they cower, they shake. Very, very common. Other animals also will respond to this as well. They are able to sense these things. But anyhow, he said that convinced me. I remember they had several big dogs, and he said when they got on there, dogs wouldn't make a sound. I think he said one of the dogs was in a cage, and he opened the cage to try to get the dog out, and the dog wouldn't even move. He should have ripped his arm off. When I got up there early the next morning with my team, all the dogs were barking, everything was back to normal. That was the case that convinced me that we're dealing with something that is not a normal flesh and blood animal. And other cases like that have shown up now, not in Pennsylvania during that time and since then, but other type of similar effects. For example, while many of the Bigfoot reports I've investigated, which have been hundreds that I've investigated in Pennsylvania over the years, and many in recent years and this year, they appear to be your typical so-called Bigfoot description. 6 to 9 foot tall, cover a long, dark hair hanging off the body, quite often very little or no neck. Interestingly, a lot of reports the arms are so long they hang below the knees almost to the ground. Eyes vary. Some are dark, but in many cases people report these things appear to be very bright, luminous, almost self-illumination to them, even when there's no reflective natural light around the area. There's no moonlight. There's no lights in the area. I've talked to many hunters who have experienced this. They know the difference between eye shine, like they see from the animals in the woods, and these type of things, completely different. But anyhow, those are the kind of things that are going on. But, okay, so here's what I wanted to tell you. You've got a lot of these reports that look like your typical description, large, solid creatures. But we're hearing more and more reports of people telling me, they said what they experienced was like watching a Predator movie. So people are telling me they watch these things walk out in front of their car that suddenly appear out of nowhere. They see this thing from head to toe. They see it moves a little bit, and it's gone. Like it comes and it goes. And there's many, many examples of this type of thing. In other cases, even since the 70s and since then, these things are not always completely solid. In some cases, I have reports where people are very close to them. They can see the physical body, but sometimes part of the body is out of focus. The other part of the body is solid. And there were some incidents in the 70s where people swear they could see the whole solid shape, but there were areas where there was no solid parts of the body. You could see through certain sections of the body. And then we're hearing more reports of these things being more, they can see the whole outline of these things moving, but they're more foggy or shimmering looking, or more foggy looking or misty looking. And then we get these reports of these things not only running so fast, but in some cases appear to be floating or gliding above the surface of the ground. And again, These reports are coming in from not only Pennsylvania, they've been reported by other researchers all over the country.
What about attempts to photograph them? Do people experience the same problems with their cameras while trying to photograph a Bigfoot that they do with UFOs?
You know, a lot of Bigfoot cases, it's a matter of seconds. And I can tell you, talking to so many witnesses, even in recent months, these people are so shocked by what they're seeing. Most of the witnesses, in so many cases, whether it's a close UFO or a Bigfoot or cryptid, many of these people didn't believe these things existed. And many of these people, after their experience, it was life-changing experience for them. Many of these people have had a heck of a time trying to deal with some of these incidents. I mean, I've talked to hunters, spent years and years out in the woods. Some of these guys said, I'll never go back out in the woods again. So that's what you're dealing with. So in a lot of cases, one, there wasn't enough time to even take a picture. In other cases, they were so shocked. But have we gotten some pictures in, game cam pictures and whatever? We've got some things in, but they do not show a complete creature. Some of the pictures we've seen show like a section of a body with long hair hanging off. Can we say it's definitely a Bigfoot? No, we cannot. But the reports were interesting. What people described was interesting. And then again, there have been other researchers out there in some of these locations. Some have attempted to use some very high-tech night vision equipment, but these people reporting different types of electromagnetic effects, they're reporting power losses they could not explain, mainly the fact that completely fully charged batteries immediately just discharged and drained out. But that's being reported not only with the Bigfoot phenomena and the UFO phenomena, but it's also being reported, as you know, with some of the paranormal researchers as well.
I find the orb sightings and the connections with possible Bigfoot activity very interesting because, you know, once again, here you have this kind of overarching phenomena that take place, you know, not only with Bigfoot, but UFO sightings and even some paranormal activity. But, I mean, I've talked to Bigfoot hunters who, like yourself, were kind of flabbergasted, I suppose would be the word, that they would see these orbs in areas where there's been Bigfoot reported.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. And one of the interesting cases I'll never forget from the 73 outbreak was September of 73, north of Pittsburgh.
You know what? Let's have that case in our next segment. We've got lots more with Stan, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Podcast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. United Auto Workers are getting tired as tensions begin to rise during the ongoing auto strike.
The first week, everybody was gung-ho.
The UAW strike is in its sixth week now, and fatigue is setting in for some workers on the picket lines, like Darvin Fletcher, who's been working for Ford for the last 28 years.
I go with the B.B. King song. The thrill is gone. Nobody wants to do this. We're all going financially bankrupt.
Picketing workers are only receiving $500 per week before taxes right now, and automakers complain they've reached their negotiation limits. Tens of thousands thousands of striking auto workers remain off the job. 6,000 others have also been laid off. All this with economic losses due to the auto strike already well into the billions of dollars. Starting late this month, Best Buy is set to launch its Black Friday sales. The holiday calendar includes early access to Black Friday deals for all customers beginning on October 30th, followed by the official commencement of the Black Friday sale on November 17th. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, another case to be related by the one and only Stan Gordon. Stan, go ahead, please.
September 73, when all these reports are coming in from widespread areas, so you have two young women waiting for a friend to pick them up out in the country. They see this around 7-8 foot tall Bigfoot with white hair, and you don't hear about the white ones very often, but they are reported even in the last few years in Pennsylvania. So it's running across the road. That in itself was unusual, but in one of its hands it's carrying a small glowing ball of light. And as it's running across towards the woods, it goes into the woods, and a short time later, this large object comes across the sky and projects a beam of light down into the woods where the creature ran into. So we thought that was fascinating. And let me give you another interesting case. This is more recently. This is May of 2019. This is a rural area in Allegheny County outside of Pittsburgh. By the way, there have been quite a number of Bigfoot sightings around Pittsburgh and even some in the more populated areas. So once again, over the years now, we're getting more sightings, not just in the woods and the mountains and forests of Pennsylvania, but near more populated areas as well, where there's not a lot of woods around. But anyhow, this was a wooded area that we're talking about here. It's early morning, May of 2019. Man happened to get up during the night, happened to look out his back window, which all the area behind his home in the woods is all illuminated with the lighting. He sees a small, what he called a small Bigfoot, about 4.5 to 5 feet tall, covered with dark hair. There was longer hair on the head in the back area. It was walking upright on two legs. The arms extended almost down to the knees. He could see the arms swinging as it moved. It was a very well illuminated area with the outdoor lighting. And he watched it move across his neighbor's yard and right into a section of the woods. About 3 seconds after it entered that particular area of the wood, in that same exact location, a bright sphere of light, about 3 to 4 inches in diameter, suddenly appeared. He said it was similar to the looking directly into the front of a flashlight. It was only about 4 feet off the ground. The light then moved a short distance and vanished. A few seconds later, that light reappeared again about 10 feet away. When it did, that small sphere emitted a bright beam of light about 10 to 12 feet long. He saw that for several seconds, and then it vanished, and that was the end of whatever happened. But here he had a correlation again between a small sphere of light and the Bigfoot.
I know some people will go and take that leap of faith and say that, whatever this phenomena is, the Bigfoot, UFOs, that especially with Bigfoot being seen in areas that you wouldn't think would be able to harbor an 8 foot tall flesh and blood creature, sometimes, city street types of sightings, yet people are reporting these things.
Exactly. It's been going on for years and years, but again, people didn't hear about it. I was hearing some of these reports. I mean, some reports I was getting back in the early 70s, they were being seen in more populated areas where there wasn't a lot of woods around. That's what's going on. And it's not just Bigfoot sightings. We're getting other type of cryptid reports, too, not just in the wooded areas. We're getting UFO sightings in very populated areas. I've investigated sightings over the years in downtown Pittsburgh. I have a copy of a police report of a huge luminous object hovering at an intersection in Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh a number of years ago, low level. There have been a lot of multitudes of cases I investigate of large, solid objects hovering very low over populated areas. And these things are ongoing. These things are going on more and more. There's a lot of activity. Like I said, there's been a lot of strange activity, even in recent months and weeks. And, again, these are the type of cases you rarely hear about on the news.
We've got a question from one of our listeners in the Paracast forums. And this is from Kenneth Harris. And Kenneth Harris says that I guess he had made a previous statement that Bigfoot cannot be a flesh and blood creature because it appears to be impossible to take one decent photo of this creature. But he also then makes the comment there haven't been any corpses to be found. And back to, my previous statement that, I mean, if you have got this huge creature, 8-10 feet tall, you would think that if it was a physical creature that we would run across the body every now and then.
Oh, yeah. And again, that's the whole thing I've been saying for years. You have similar things, similar creatures being reported not only in the country, but all around the world for how many years, and yet nobody has come up with a definitive body. And some of the cases we have here, again, with the tracks that just suddenly end abruptly, and that's going on in many, many areas around the country, to, unfortunately, people shooting these things with no effect or disappearing in a flash of light. And I'll give you another example. So going back to 1973, up in that same general area, here's a man that's walking his hunting dogs that evening. It's dusk, and he owns a lot of property, and he sees this figure way ahead of him that he thought somebody was trespassing. So he yells out. As he gets close, he realizes this is not a person. It looks like a kind of a hairy ape-like thing. And he grabs a sidearm and starts shooting at it. And reportedly, when he hit it, it physically vanished, but he could still hear it running, but he couldn't see it.
Hmm. Well, there's... Go ahead, Stan. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying there are so many accounts, and there are so many, and there's a real interesting one. And I'm trying to think, this was about 4 years ago, I believe. This would have been down in the Mon Valley area. So the Mon Valley area are these small towns that border along the Monongahela River, where there have been many, many UFO sightings, Bigfoot, Thunderbird sightings, all kind of weird sightings for years and years. This was a really interesting case. I was there early the next morning with Eric Altman from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society. We went down and investigated. It was a pouring down day, unfortunately, so we couldn't find any evidence. But anyhow, this was November 2018. So this fellow, who I consider to be very credible, I talked to him probably within a half an hour after it happened, and he was definitely very, very shaken about what had happened. So it was a rainy night. He's riding down this rural road in the Mon Valley. He's riding down the road, and about 50 feet in front of him, he has his headlights on low at that time. He notices something standing on the left side of the road. He moves closer and puts his high beams on. Suddenly, this huge hair-covered creature walks onto the road 5 feet in front of his vehicle and stops. The witness is stunned. The creature stopped on the road, turned and looked directly at him. It turned and began to slowly turn and ran off with very long strides as it leaped across the road from left to right, and then it went up this little embankment. He said he could see his long arms swinging as it ran. The hands of the creature were in a closed, as he said, kind of cuffed position. The creature continued to run up the slight hill. The man told me he grabbed for his cell phone to try to obtain a picture and followed the creature in his vehicle for a very short distance. He said in a matter of seconds, he lost sight of it. He was right behind it. He said this quick disappearance baffled him, since he felt he should have been able to see where it moved to, but he couldn't. But he told me, he said he was just very, very shaken over it. He said this thing was at least 7 foot tall, cut with shaggy brown and black hair. The creature looked unhealthy as though it was sick, which I've heard in a few cases before. We had a description like that. He said there were areas on the body where the hair was missing or sparse. It might have been like mange. The head was the size of a watermelon, somewhat penis-shaped. The face was long and narrow. The ears he could not see because the hair of the area covered them. The nose appeared to be large, about 4 inches long, and the cheeks were sunken and looked unhealthy. He said he could not see its mouth. The chest had a sparse amount of hair compared to the creature's back was covered in hair. The arms were long and hung down at least to the kneecaps. The hands were about twice the size of an adult human. They were brown in color and hairy. The lower section legs could not be seen where it stood because it was so close to the car, it was blocking the bottom part of the creature. So here's a fella that's right behind this thing with his camera taking a picture, and suddenly it's not there anymore.
We have a lot more of these cases to talk about and more theorizing as to what might be behind it. Exclusive from Western Pennsylvania, Stan Gordon, who's been at it for many years, Gene Steinberg, Tim Schwartzer, and...
Here, the Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Stan, still interested in talking about this curious phenomenon. We have footprints that stop, like the thing vanished. We have someone shooting at a Bigfoot-type creature, it vanishes. How do we make the jump there to another dimension?
Well, again, whatever we're dealing with, these things seem to suddenly appear out of nowhere at times. They sometimes leave evidence, and then it's gone. The tracks, they go for a distance, and they're suddenly gone. Doesn't happen in all cases. Like in some cases, these things appear to be physically solid, and in other cases, they don't appear to be physically completely solid. It's a very, very strange whatever we're dealing with. But also, though, look at the similarities with many of the UFO or UAP reports that we're hearing. So I've had these reports of large solid objects over the years, even in daylight, like big metallic objects, for example, hovering at fairly low level and suddenly beginning to slowly fade away and vanish and they're gone. Or in some cases, very quickly just fade away and they're gone. I've had reports of these objects changing from one physical form into another right in front of people's eyes. You've got similarities with some of these objects in the sky as well as some of these other phenomena. Look at the investigation we've done at Skinwalker Ranch and the similar things are showing up there. And in many other areas of the country where these things have been going on, other researchers are talking about various similar type of anomalies taking place. I don't think anybody knows what it is or understands it. I don't think the government does either. I think they're aware of it. I think more and more researchers are aware of this type of thing. Whatever we're dealing with, I really believe we're dealing with something that's so beyond a present scientific understanding, nobody understands what we're dealing with. All we can do is put out the information, gather the data, and there are so many strange aspects of what we're dealing with here. Another one that a lot of people may never have heard about with Bigfoot is the electromagnetic effects and power losses. And this is kind of interesting, too. I've interviewed a few cases of these incidents happening of witnesses in Pennsylvania. There have been other reports, apparently not a lot known around the country over the years. But you've all heard, going back to, 50s, 60s, of large luminous objects, large solid objects in the sky that were low-level, pacing vehicles, and sometimes in the vicinity of cars or other vehicles, and when these objects were close by, the vehicles would begin to lose power. Their motors would begin to sputter. Their headlights would dim. When the objects would take off, the power would come back on. The headlights would brighten up. Similar things have happened with Bigfoot. So there have been incidents like this where a Bigfoot has been near a vehicle, for example, and as the creature was nearby, they were losing power. When the creature moved off or they got slightly away from it, they began to get their power back on the vehicle. That's something that a lot of people don't know about. I remember one case I investigated years ago. There were more than one witness involved going down a back road. They're coming down this stretch, and they said all of a sudden, this huge, hairy creature suddenly appears right on the edge of the road in front of them. They had to swerve around to miss hitting it. It disappeared out of nowhere. It had very large arms and legs, and right at that point, their motor was sputtering. They lost power, and the passengers yelling, give it the gas, give it the gas. They said, I'm pushing on the gas. But as the car slowly drifted away from the creature, it began to regain power. When you deal with so many people who don't know each other, don't have any interest in these cases from far-off areas over so many years, and are so reluctant to tell you what happened. I mean, I deal with this stuff all the time. I mean, just things I've heard about in recent weeks, it's just amazing what's going on. There's just so much we just don't understand.
Well, you know, it reminds me, you know, when we talk about these things possibly coming from, you know, another reality, and of course, our definition of other dimensions, other realities, I mean, you know, we're really not too sure, but, you know, I interviewed a guy one time that him and another Bigfoot hunter were out in the woods in Oregon in a Bigfoot hotspot, and for several nights in a row, they saw this, the only way they could describe it, as a portal opening, and these, they described them as smaller, but small hairy creatures crawling out of this portal and running at them, and then when they would shine their flashlights on them, the creatures and the portals would disappear, only to repeat itself over and over and over again all night long. The interesting thing is that they described the portal that these things were coming out of as emitting a red light, and they could actually see what looked to be trees, leafless trees, and an almost hellscape type of environment on the other side of this portal. So, I mean, to me, that sounds like an excellent description of another dimension or another reality.
Yeah, and again, on occasion, I'm hearing these things, people claim they see something similar up on the ridge in some other areas where these things are going on. In some cases, people reported something like that. So I have heard similar reports. And let me give you another example of another interesting case, which has this physical and non-physical aspect to it. So this is February 2002. This is down in Lancaster County. So this is 6 o'clock in the morning. This researcher is heading down towards the town of Marietta, PA. So he's riding down the highway, and he's on Route 23, I believe. And he's riding down the road, and he sees down the distance what looks like a small child playing in the middle of the highway. And he's thinking, what in the heck is a kid doing this time of morning playing in the middle of the road? So he gets closer and closer. And as he gets closer, he gets about 20, 25 feet away from this, what he thought was a child at first. He realizes this is not a child at all, but it looks like about a 4 to 5 foot tall, like a thin, black-haired, skinny Bigfoot. And apparently this thing didn't even realize that he was there until he turned his high beams on. It turns around. It has glowing, luminous yellow eyes. It's staring directly at him, and he said, all of a sudden, it just vanished right in front of him. He said it didn't walk off the road. It just vanished. It was gone. And interestingly, the Native Americans in that area, they have what they call the Alpic witches. So these are these small, little, hairy creatures that have been reported around that general area over the years. So there's a lot of stories that seem to indicate that we're dealing with something, again, that is not always completely physical.
Well, okay, the Native American angle is interesting. What about other tribes in the Pennsylvania area? I mean, do they have stories of these creatures, and are they considered, you know, spiritual or physical creatures?
You know, over many, many, many years ago, they were having some Native American events in this area, and actually they invited me to come to speak, and there were many, many different people there. And again, I can't remember all the different Native American people from this different area, but they would talk to me about the history of their relatives and people seeing these things. And what you kept getting over the years was that these things were more spiritual than physical. and they were more related to the surrounding, to nature, that they felt that they were something and were not completely physical all the time. And you know, when I talk about these cases, by the way, with UFOs and Bigfoot seen together, and again, there was that really famous case that I'm sure you talked about in the past, that was the case that truly indicated we were dealing with something that was not a normal flesh and blood animal with a UFO connection. We can talk about that, but and I just got off track and I forgot my trend of thought here. But anyhow, that there's a lot more to this than we understand, let me tell you.
Yeah, the case that you're referring to, that's one of my favorite cases, and by all means, let's talk about that one.
Well, I remember that case very well, and gee, next week we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of that incident. It's hard for me to believe, 50 years ago. I'll never forget that day and that night. It was the case that changed my whole idea of what we were dealing with. And now I know what I was going to tell you. When we talk about the incidents with UFOs and Bigfoot, I am not suggesting that Bigfoot is a passenger in a spaceship from another planet, because we don't know for sure what these objects are. I've said for years there's very likely more than one origin to the unknown category of the UFO mystery, that maybe a small percentage might be extraterrestrial, but I think we're dealing with something else that might be much closer to us. And like I said, there appears to be a physical and non-physical component to it. These things appear to appear and disappear, change physical form. It's energy connected, and I think we're dealing with something that's much more interesting. But anyhow, that case, it's October 25th, 1973, so next week will be a 50-year kind of reunion, this incident. And it was life-changing for me, and I know some of the people with my team that night, and I'm sure for the witnesses, and I believe most of them are now gone.
Before we get into this case that occurred on October of 1973, we're going to have more with Tim and Gene and Stan. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.